Good morning and welcome to this WERU special. I'm Amy Brown. The WERU community has strong ties with the people of El Salvador. The community of Bangor and the organization PICA, Peace Through Inter-American Community Action, have a sister city relationship with the rural village of Carrasque. The Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association has a sistering relationship with the farmers in El Salvador, and WERU has a sister station, Radio Sampul, there as well. Several delegations from this part of Maine have visited El Salvador, and many of them have met with Don Pablo Alvarenga, the local historian, in a town called Sinquera in the Department of Cabañas. Don Pablo meets with visitors inside a church that was bombed during the U.S.-funded war in the 1980s and tells the story of the people's struggle to survive and the role religion and politics have played in the history of the region. This morning, Don Pablo tells us about the introduction of liberation theology to the area, how the rural community started to organize themselves to make a better life, and how the right-wing retribution and death squads followed and led up to the war. This is Don Pablo Alvarenga in his own words from his own experiences, translated by Jesse Dyer Stewart.
Coronel, ¿y qué es Unión Soviética? Ah, y empezó a decir cosas que ahí sí yo estábamos seguros que no conocía. Pero dijo algo sobre eso.
And we asked him, Colonel, what is the Soviet Union? And he began to say stuff that I'm sure he didn't even know what he was saying.
¿Están de acuerdo con el comunismo? No, coronel, pues a luchar contra el comunismo. ¿Tienen ustedes, saben ustedes? ¿Tienen a su padre y a su madre que ya está llegando a la edad de 60 años? Y algunos, sí, coronel. Pues cuidado con el comunismo. Porque en el comunismo todo el mundo tiene que trabajar mucho para el Estado. Y ustedes saben, los ancianos y las ancianas, por sus múltiples dificultades, ya no les es posible trabajar. El Estado, para que den su último aporte, los va recogiendo de municipio en municipio y los envía a los rastros municipales y con su carne alimenta a las fieras del jardín zoológico.
And so again, the colonel asked us, and so, do you agree with communism? And we said, no, colonel. And then the colonel said, okay, entonces we must all struggle against communism. And he also asked us, so, do any of you have relatives or parents who are 68 years old or older? And many of us said, yes, colonel. And he said, be careful with communism, he said, because under communism, since everyone must work a lot for the state, the last thing that elderly people give to the state is that they're all collected from one municipality to the next. They go collecting the old people, and they take them all to the local meat factories, and they chew them up and feed them to the beasts at the zoo.
¿Están de acuerdo con el comunismo?
No.
No, coronel, pues a luchar contra el comunismo. En el comunismo a ustedes les van a quitar las tierras. Nos vimos todos y le dijimos, coronel, ninguno tenemos tierra. Ah, entonces le van a quitar la cosecha del año. El gobierno la guarda y les va a obligar a hacer grandes filas el fin de semana para entregarles la porción alimenticia para su familia.
And so then the colonel said, under communism, they'll take all your land away. And we looked at each other and said, but colonel, we don't have any land. And the colonel said, well, in that case, they'll take all the harvest that you have for the whole year. And then they'll make you go stand in line all weekend long, waiting for your little ration that you get for the week.
De acuerdo con el comunismo, no, coronel, pues a luchar contra el comunismo.
Are you in agreement with communism? No, colonel. Then we must struggle against communism.
¿Ustedes creen en Dios y tienen religión? Sí, coronel, somos cristianos católicos. Pues tienen que saber. En el comunismo es prohibido creer en Dios y a los sacerdotes. y a los pastores de las iglesias, el gobierno los captura y los cuelga de los árboles más grandes frente a su pueblo. ¿Están de acuerdo con el comunismo? No, coronel, pues a luchar contra el comunismo. Y así.
And so then the colonel would ask us, are you religious? Do you practice religion? And we'd say, yes, colonel, we're Catholics. And the colonel would say, well, be careful of communism, because under communism, you can't practice religion, and all the priests will be rounded up and hung from the highest trees, and you won't be able to have any priests. Do you agree with communism? No, colonel. Well, then we must struggle against communism.
Alguien al final de toda esa platiquita le preguntó, coronel, usted dijo que nos venía a prevenir de un peligro aquí en Cinquera. ¿Cuál es? Ah, es verdad. Sí. Vengo a decirles que el obispo, nuestro obispo de San Vicente, ha dispuesto cambiarles el párroco. Y el párroco que ustedes tienen, ese viejito bueno, se lo van a quitar y les van a mandar un joven. Y ese joven que viene es comunista. Cuidado.
And so finally, at the end of this talk, somebody asked the colonel, but colonel, I thought you said in the beginning that you'd come to tell us about a danger that we had here in Cinquera, that communism was coming. And the colonel was like, you're right, he said. You know the bishop that we have? Well, he is going to take away the good old priest that you've had here for so long, and he's going to put a new young fellow in, a new priest, and this new priest is a communist.
Cuando él venga, el sacerdote nuevo, no lo apoyen, no vengan a misa para que se vaya.
So when this new young priest comes, don't support him. Don't come to mass so that he leaves quickly.
Se fue el coronel. Pasaron unos días y a los pocos días se dio el cambio de sacerdote. ¿Cómo sabía el coronel las decisiones del obispo? Pues había que investigar.
And so, not long after the colonel left, a few days later, the old priest left and the new priest came. How the colonel knew that they were going to appoint a new priest, well, who would know?
Eran las 10 de la mañana de un día, y yo estaba un poco joven, fíjese que ahorita tengo 66 años. Y eso fue en 1968, todavía podía correr y jugaba fútbol. Y estaba con mis contemporáneos jugando el fútbol allí en lo que hoy es el parque, antes Plaza Pública. Cuando bajó un carrito Volkswagen, parqueó y salió un sacerdote joven vestido de blanco. Nunca habíamos visto un sacerdote con sotana blanca, solo negra. Nos extrañó, de blanco. Seguimos jugando el fútbol, pero más pendientes del cura. Entró el cura, dejó la maleta y sale de nuevo. Se para ahí frente a nosotros. Y entonces todos nosotros nos descompenetramos, más pendientes del cura que del balón. En esa descompenetración, un compañero descoordinó el tiro de la pelota y se fue a dar a los pies del sacerdote. El sacerdote, con mucha maestría, paró el balón, lo levantó, pum, 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 y se lo puso al otro. Más desconcertados nosotros, y dijimos, ¡ey! ¿Cómo juega fútbol? ¡Mejor que nosotros! Y entonces, más descompenetrados, más desconcertados, otro compañero se le fue también el balón a los pies del cura, sin intención. Otra vez el cura con las rodillas. ¡Pum! Y luego dice, muchachos, juego con ustedes. No podíamos decirle que no por la timidez, pero había repudio interno hacia él. Y le dijimos sí.
And so, one afternoon, when I was still quite young and able to play football, I'm 66 now, and this was in 1968, a car drove into the center plaza right here, which was before where we used to play football, soccer. And a priest dressed in white stepped out of the car. And this was new to us because the priests always came dressed in black. And so we were playing, but we were paying more attention to this new priest who got out of the car and walked into the church with his suitcase, put his suitcase down in the church, and came back out to stand by the edge of the plaza and watch us play. And now we were we had lost all our concentration and we weren't really paying any attention to the ball, only watching the priest. And somebody who wasn't paying attention kicked the ball and it went astray and landed right in front of the priest. And the priest stopped it with a lot of talent, juggled it around with his head, knocked it back to the guy who kicked it. Now we're even more unconcentrated and we looked at this priest and we thought, wow, he can play soccer. And in the meantime, someone by accident, as we kind of tried to play but mostly watched the priest, kicked the ball and it went off the field and again landed in front of the priest. And again, the priest juggled it around and passed it back. And he said, can I play with you? And because we were timid and shy, we didn't dare say no, even though we knew that inside that we had to reject this man.
Se incorporó al grupo y continuamos jugando, pero nosotros ya no disfrutábamos el fútbol. Tremendamente preocupados por tener entre nosotros a un comunista.
So he joined us and played with us, but now we weren't able to enjoy the soccer because we were so worried that we had a communist amongst us.
Y la gente en las puertas de las casas viendo al sacerdote comunista.
And people in their houses all around the square peeking out, watching the communist priest.
Jugó un minuto y medio con nosotros, paró el balón, lo cogió, se lo puso aquí. Muchachos, yo soy el nuevo párroco y vengo a participar con ustedes, a vivir y convivir con ustedes, a aprender de ustedes y lo que puedo yo, se lo voy a dar a conocer a ustedes.
He played for a minute and a half with us. And after a minute and a half, he stopped the soccer ball, he picked it up and put it under his arm, and he said, hey, fellas, I'm the new priest. I've come to live with you and learn from you, and what I can, I'll also teach you.
Quiero preguntarles, ¿conocieron al sacerdote que se fue? Sí. ¿Y cómo era él? Bueno. Pues yo también quiero ser bueno con ustedes. ¿Y trabajaron con él? Sí. Yo les pido que también trabajemos juntos. Vamos adentro y hacemos una platiquita de amistad. Sí, entre temores. Y como él traía el balón, ya no podíamos seguir. Lo seguimos y nos sentamos en las bancas a platicar.
And so he asked us, did you know the priest who was here before? Yes. Was he good? Yes, Father. Did you work with him? Yes, Father. Well, I want to work with you too. I hope we can work together, he said the priest. Yes, Father, he said. And so he said, why don't we go inside and have a little chat? And since the father had the ball under his arm, we couldn't keep playing anyway. So, and we were between terror and curiosity, we went into the church.
Cuando estábamos sentados en las bancas, todos con bastante disimulo, pero sin cubrirlo, le poníamos la mirada aquí. Y no logramos descubrir, no vimos nada. Lo contrario, sentimos que su plática era de amigo. Y el tensionamiento fue bajando. Y ya suspirando, ya cogiendo aire con más facilidad. Y empezamos a ser amigos.
And so we tried to hide it a little bit. When we came into the church, we were all staring at his forehead looking for those horns. And But at the same time, we felt that the chat we were having, we felt like he was acting like a friend with us. And so, little by little, we began to be friends.
Y nos invitó a que cada fin de semana tuviéramos una reunión de amistad para conocernos y ver en qué éramos útiles a nuestra comunidad. Y empezamos así. Y nos gustó.
And so, he invited us that every weekend we have a chat together to start talking about how we could serve our community. And we went every weekend and we liked it.
No descubrimos nada de lo que en él, de lo que el coronel decía. Absolutamente nada. Era mentira.
We couldn't find anything in him of what the colonel had said to us about communists. It was a total lie.
Él nos dedicó mucho tiempo, los fines de semana, y nos dijo que si teníamos la Biblia, y le dijimos, no teníamos la Biblia. Solicitó a España, hizo un pedido grande de Biblias latinoamericanas, de este tipo de Biblia. Y nos la vendió a precio fácil. Y unos vendimos frijoles, otros vendimos maíz, otros pedimos pisto, dinero por trabajo, y compramos la Biblia todos. Y nos enseñó cómo leer la Biblia. Qué bonito está eso.
And so he asked us if we had Bibles, and we said no. And so he sent off to Spain that they send us giant boxes of Bibles, and he sold the Bibles to us at a cheap price. And so some of us would sell our beans, some of us would go work and get paid a little bit, pull together money however we could, and we all bought the Bible. And he taught us how to read the Bible.
El coronel en su visita, el descensunte nos había dicho que en este país nadie está autorizado a organizar al pueblo. Solo nosotros, decían ellos, los militares.
And the colonel from Sintepeque, who had come and visit us and talked to us about communists, said that nobody in El Salvador was allowed to organize except for the military people.
En una de las misas llena el templo, siempre se daba esa misma situación. Se desmayaba la gente. Y el padre dijo, ¿por qué se ha desmayado la señora? Apártense un poco, démosle aire, saquémosla ya. Y después preguntó, ¿por qué se desmayó la señora? La misma respuesta, padre, es que como casi no hemos comido. ¿Y por qué no comen antes de venir a misa? No tenemos que comer, padre. ¿Y por qué no tienen? Pues que somos muy pobres, padre. ¿Y por qué son tan pobres ustedes? Ya ve, padre, es la voluntad de Dios. ¿Qué? Nos quedamos en pausa. ¿Qué dijeron? Que la voluntad de Dios. Algo tímidos. Sí, padre. Pero ¿y quién les ha dicho esa gran mentira? Ya no nos quedamos en crisis. Pero le tuvimos que decir que los sacerdotes en la iglesia. Eso no es verdad, hijo.
And so, as always happened, one Sunday in Mass, when the chapel was packed, somebody fainted, and the father said, move back, let's take her outside so she can breathe, and asked, why did that person faint? And we said the same answer we'd always given, because they're hungry, father. Why is that person hungry? Why didn't she eat something before she came? And the father said, well, it's because we don't have anything to eat. And the father said, why don't you have anything to eat? He said, well, it's because we're poor, father. And the father asked, why are you poor? And he said, well, it's the will of God. And the father said, what? Who told you that lie? And we were in crisis. We didn't know what to say. Finally, we said, but father, that's what all the priests have told us. And he said, that's not true.
Padre, y entonces, ¿quién es el culpable de que no tengamos que comer? Pues, ¿no Dios da todo, pues? Le voy a hacer una pregunta. En noviembre, en el mes de noviembre, diciembre, enero, ¿hacia dónde se encaminan ustedes en esos meses? Ah, padre, a cortar café, caña y algodón. ¿Cuánto les pagan? ¿Qué les dan de comer? Frijoles y tortilla, padre, con colas de rata y cucarachas. Porque era verdad. ¿Y ellos quiénes son los dueños de la finca? Padre, son unos señores de apellido Girola, Mesayao, apellido Sol, Sol Milek y otros. Ellos son los culpables de que ustedes no tengan que comer.
And so we asked our father, we asked him, but father, if it's not God's will, who is it that has made us so poor? And the father asked us, where do you go to work in the months of November, December, January? And we told the father, well, we go to cut sugar cane, to pick coffee, to pick cotton. And who are the people who pay you? And how much do they pay you? And what do they give you to eat? And we said, well, this is how much they pay us. We eat beans and tortillas and rat tails and cockroaches, because that was true, that's what we ate. And the father asked us again, and who are the people who pay you and give you this food? We started to tell him, the family, Girola, La Mesa, Ayal, ¿cómo se dice?
Mesa, Ayau.
Ayal, the family, Sol,
Schoenberg. Sol Millet, Schoenberg también.
Schoenberg también.
Mm-hmm. They, Tinoco.
Tinoco. Those are the families, those are the people that are guilty for making you poor.
Padre, pero es que a nosotros nos han dicho que ellos son bendecidos por Dios y que lo que tienen Dios se les ha dado a manos llenas. No, no es verdad. A ustedes les pagan poquito por el trabajo grande y a ellos les queda toda la ganancia. Y en cada finca tienen miles de trabajadores que todos los días les roban parte de su salario y les niegan la alimentación digna y les niegan la atención para la salud. Todo eso les queda a ellos y por eso son ricos, con el trabajo de ustedes.
And the father said, and we asked the father, but why are they guilty for making us poor? We thought they were blessed by God, and that's why they have so much. No, the father said, they're rich because they rob from you. They pay you poor wages, and all the profits end up in their hands. They have hundreds of workers, and they all pay their workers poorly. They rob from their workers' salaries. They don't give them health care. They don't give them food like they should. And so all that profit remains with them.
Entonces, nosotros nos negamos a creer, resistimos. No puede ser. Por años nuestros padres y la iglesia nos ha dicho que ellos son bendecidos por Dios. Y él está diciendo otra cosa, mentiras han de ser. Él logró captar que nosotros no creíamos. Vayan a traer sus Biblias. Y como ya teníamos Biblia, corrimos a traer las Biblias sentados todos. Y dijo, va, abran la Biblia en tal parte. Y empezamos a leer el profeta Isaías, al profeta Amós, al profeta Miqueas, duro. Y empezamos a ver cómo esos hombres en aquel tiempo y para aquella gente y en aquellas situaciones habían señalado el acaparamiento injusto, dejando sin nada a los demás, causantes de la desgracia de los pueblos. Fue sorpresa para nosotros.
But we couldn't believe this. For so many years we've been told that it was the will of God that things were like this. We refused to believe what the priest said. And the priest found out that there were murmurs here and there that nobody believed him. And he said, go get your Bibles and bring them back and let's look at the Bible. And since we had new Bibles, We ran to our houses and got our Bibles and came back to the church. And he said, open your Bible and read the prophets, read Isaiah, read the others, and they will, and you'll read about how prophets in these times pointed these men out who steal from the rich, who steal from the poor and keep it all for themselves. And you'll find out, learn about the injustice.
Ya no dejábamos hablar al Padre. Nosotros de uno a otro. Y aquí dice aquí, mira. Y aquí también dice aquí, mira. Todos. Ya el Padre. Nosotros mismos encontrando por todas partes a Santiago en el capítulo 5. Hay de ustedes, a los ricos, etc. Es más fácil que pase un camello por el ojo de una aguja y no que un rico se salve. Que no entrarán en el reino de los cielos los ricos. Y ya no hallábamos tanto que encontrar por aquí y por allá. Se acabó la ignorancia.
And we were in shock. We didn't know what to do. And we didn't even let the Father speak because we were looking through the passages of the Bible, reading Santiago chapter 5 and sharing one thing to the next with each other, and we couldn't get over how much it said about our situation. And we left ignorance behind.
Entonces, hubo una pregunta. Ahora sí, Padre, ya entendimos. Pero, ¿qué podemos hacer? Ah, dijo él, organícense. Organícense los trabajadores del campo. Organícense las amas de casa. Para que no la golpee su marido. Organícense los estudiantes, los empleados de las fábricas. Organícense los maestros. Y juntos luchen para exigir ese derecho que se les ha negado a cada sector durante la historia, durante las generaciones.
And so then we said, okay, Father, now we understand, but what can we do? And he said, what you have to do is organize yourselves. Organize yourselves as rural workers. Organize yourselves as people who run your houses. As women who take care of your houses. Organize as students. Organize as factory workers. Organize as teachers. And you must all organize together and struggle for your rights to do something about the injustice that you've suffered through all of history.
Entonces, nos quedamos otra vez en suspenso. Y hubo alguien y le dijo, Padre, no podemos organizarnos. ¿Y quién les ha dicho que no se pueden organizar? El coronel, Padre. El coronel dice que nadie está autorizado en este país a organizar al pueblo, solo ellos.
And so, then somebody said, but Father, we can't organize. And the Father asked, why can't you organize? And we said, Father, it's because the colonel told us that nobody is allowed to organize in this country except for the colonels, except for the military people.
Y entonces, fue corriendo ahí a la salita, abrió su maleta y sacó este libro. ¿Conocen este libro? Nos dijo. No, padre. Ah, ¿no? Este libro se llama Los Documentos de Medellín. Son unos acuerdos que tomaron los obispos latinoamericanos en la segunda conferencia episcopal latinoamericana realizada en Colombia, en Medellín, Colombia. 1968, y que estuvo presente en esa conferencia su santidad el Papa Pablo VI. Todos silencios. No entendíamos mucho todavía.
And he said, and so then the father turned and ran to his books, and he took out this book. And he said, do you know this book? And we said, no, Father. And he said, these are the texts of Medellin. And he said, these are the agreements that were made in Medellin, Colombia, in 1968. which was attended by Father John Paul VI.
¿Creen ustedes en los... Bueno, dijo él, hicieron un diagnóstico, un estudio de cada país y lo presentaron. Y en plenaria sacaron conclusiones y una de las principales conclusiones que sacaron los obispos junto con el Papa fue que América Latina toda está en pecado. Y le preguntamos, ¿y por qué en pecado, Padre? Porque en cada país hay un grupo tipo oligarquía, familias unidas, que son el verdadero gobierno. Y estos se han estructurado de tal manera que todo les favorece a ellos, aprovechándose de las amplias mayorías de los pueblos. Y eso es pecado, que unos tengan mucho y otros no tengan nada. Eso es pecado. Empezamos a entender otra cosa.
And so, these texts of Medellin came out of a conference in which many religious leaders, including the Pope, were there, and they analyzed the situation in Latin America, and they came up with a number of conclusions. And one of the conclusions they came up with was that Latin America had all fallen into sin. And so we asked, well, why are we falling into sin, Father? And he said, it's because in every Latin American country there's a tiny, mighty oligarchy that is controlling everything, and everything they do, they are the governments of all the countries, and what everything they do favors the same rich families that control the country. And so that is why Latin America has fallen into sin, is because there are so few who have so much, and everybody else has nothing.
You're listening to a WERU special. This is Don Pablo Alvarenga, a local historian in Sincara in El Salvador. It was recorded in January 2007. Jesse Dyer Stewart is translating.
Hermanos, ¿creen ustedes en los obispos? Sí, padre, creemos en los obispos, que representan, ya dijimos. Pues ellos son los que dicen lo siguiente. Y buscó en la parte social y otros, donde los obispos dicen el derecho que tenemos los pueblos de organizarnos por sectores para exigir nuestras justas reivindicaciones. Cuando vimos eso, cambió nuestra actitud.
And so the father said, brothers, do you believe in the bishops? And he said, yes, father, we believe in the bishops. And he said, well, and he looked for the place in the text and he said, these are the agreements. This is what the bishops have agreed on, that are the rights of all people to organize themselves and demand their rights as people.
Padre, queremos organizarnos. Ah, eso está bien. Eso está bien, bien, bien. Bye. Y habíamos unos 60 hombres y mujeres aquí. Cogió su Biblia y dijo, agarren su Biblia. Y abrió en el libro de los Hechos de los Apóstoles, capítulo 2, versículo 42 en adelante. Vayan en grupos de 10 en 10 con esta lectura. Léanla, medítenla y tomen acuerdos. 2 horas de estudio. Nos fuimos en grupos todos. A las 2 horas regresamos a la plenaria. Todos de común acuerdo dijimos, queremos vivir así como vivieron esos primeros cristianos, compartiendo lo que tenían y ayudándose de unos a otros y manteniéndose en la línea de Dios con la justicia. Cuando terminó esa plenaria, dijo el padre, ¿todos están de acuerdo? Sí, 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 sí. Vayan a sus casas. Díganle a su familia lo que acaban de descubrir. Vayan a sus caseríos o sus cantones. y háblenle de lo que han descubierto. Y fuimos, y fuimos. 4 años sin descansar, después de venir del campo de trabajar, a reunirnos con la gente y organizamos comunidades cristianas en todo el municipio.
And so we said, Father, we want to organize. And he said, huh, this is good. And he grabbed his Bible and he said, look at in the Apostolies chapter 2, verse 42 and onward, and read this and go from one group to the next, the people in the community, and share this with them. Read it, then meditate on it, and then come back with what you think. And so we spent 2 hours going all around the village and reading and meditating, and then sharing what we thought, and we came back all together into the assembly. There were about 60 of us, and we said, we want to live like those first Christians. We want to live with the justice of God, and everybody was in agreement. And then the Father said, okay, now take this back, what you've just talked about today. Take this back to your families, take this back to your communities, take it back to each your neighborhoods, and share this with everybody else. And we did. For 4 years, without resting, after working in the field all morning, we came home and grabbed our Bibles and went into our communities and created Christian committees in all our communities in the entire municipality.
Y luchamos contra las borracheras. Antes éramos muy borrachos. Cortamos las borracheras. Los odios entre nosotros se terminó. Con un Padre Nuestro agarrado de la mano, rehacíamos las amistades. Si nos agarrábamos las cosas robándole al vecino, ya no. Si éramos muy enamorados y teniendo nuestra esposa y se nos iban los ojos, ya no. Luchamos contra todo. Y fuimos mejorando poco a poco. Y el ambiente en la comunidad fue cambiando de raíz. Ya la Guardia Nacional ya no tenía a quien capturar. El juez ya no tenía a quien juzgar. Todo era armonía y colaboración mutua de unos a otros. Y el más pobre era el más importante entre nosotros.
And we struggled against the alcoholism in our communities, because before there are many alcoholics, and as we worked together, we eliminated alcoholism. If there were feuds between members in the community, we came together and we put those people together, and we held each other by the hands, and with one Our Father, we eliminated those feuds. We stopped robbing from each other. And if some of us spend a lot of time looking for other women besides our wives, we stopped doing that too. And we got better little by little. And so then the National Guard and the judges didn't have anybody to persecute. They didn't have anybody to go capture and put in jail, because we'd eliminated all our vices.
Fue un mundo nuevo. Un mundo de solidaridad entre los pobres por primera vez. Pero las autoridades de la comunidad estaban preocupadas y fueron a pedir consejo a las autoridades superiores del Estado. Y el Estado les dijo, tengan cuidado, así comienza a trabajar el comunismo.
And so it was a new world that we created. It was a world of mutual solidarity amongst the poor for maybe the first time here. And the National Guard began to get worried, and they went to the barracks, the chief in command, and asked him, told him what was going on, and expressed their concerns, and the commander said, be careful, that is how communism begins.
Pero este trabajo no era solo en Sinquer. Sacerdotes en Chalatenango, 10 sacerdotes en la diócesis de San Vicente, trabajando, formando comunidades cristianas. El padre Rutilio Grande, jesuita, trabajando en Aguilares y otros. Allá en San Salvador, los sacerdotes belgas trabajando por las comunidades cristianas. Entonces, los ricos, el gobierno, los militares, empezaron una campaña de desprestigio al trabajo cristiano de la Iglesia Católica. Y utilizando los medios de comunicación que está en sus manos, como el Diario de Hoy y la prensa gráfica, y otras difusoras como la YSKL, empezaron una campaña difamadora, acusándonos de comunistas.
And so it wasn't just us in Sinquera that were building these new Christian communities. There are people in Chalatenango and San Vicente, Father Rutilio Grande in Aguilares, the Belgic priests in San Salvador, and we were all working towards the same goal. And so the rich people, the government elites, started to get worried about this, and they launched a whole defamation campaign through the principal mass media in the country. The newspaper Diario de Hoy and La Prensa Gráfica, the two main newspapers, radio station YSKL, discrediting the work we were doing and say this is how communism begins.
Al momento que todo el mundo, los pobres de este país, especialmente los campesinos, estaban saliendo en parte de la ignorancia y ansiando organizarse para buscar una situación más favorable, en los periódicos a grandes titulares y en doble página se leía: el comunismo ha penetrado en El Salvador utilizando como punta de lanza la Iglesia Católica.
And so we, as we were struggling to create this new world and to realize our hopes and dreams as Christian communities, the newspapers in all of El Salvador, in giant letters across the front pages, were saying communism has entered into El Salvador.
Entonces, los cuerpos de seguridad llegaban a las iglesias, a nuestras reuniones, con fusil en mano, amenazante, queriendo capturarnos a nosotros. Pero la gente se juntaba y no lo permitía.
Saying, communism has entered into El Salvador and it's using the point of its lance is the Catholic Church. And so the National Guard would arrive at our churches during mass and surround us and try to capture us all.
Intentaron con una campaña intimidatoria que nosotros ya no leyéramos la Biblia en grupo, sino en las casas, solos. Y les dijimos, no. Jesús ha dicho, lo que les digo al oído, díganlo en público. Y no nos vencieron.
So they tried to intimidate us and say that we couldn't read our Bibles in groups. We had to read our Bibles by ourselves in our houses. And we wouldn't let ourselves be intimidated. We said, no, what Jesus has said isn't just to be said in private, it is to be said in public. And we wouldn't let them do that to us.
Los estudiantes y las estudiantes jóvenes habían logrado sacar de la Biblia buena parte de los textos que señalan el pecado estructural, social, y lo habían puesto en carteles con su respectiva cita bíblica. En todo esto, letra grande para los mayores.
The students in our community had gone through all the Bible and taken out all the passages that talked about structural injustice, and they put it in giant letters all around this church so that the young, older people could read it. And they had at the bottom notated the passage from which it was from.
Los dueños del poder en este país y los dueños del dinero, al ver que no lograban detenernos, entonces, aquí en Sinquera, recurrieron a nuestro obispo en San Vicente para denunciarnos. Y entonces el obispo vino un día a una misa como a esta hora, y sin poner aviso a los trabajadores de la iglesia, activó el aparato de sonido con las bocinas afuera y empezó una misa de condena. Eso.
And so the rich and powerful from this country didn't know what to do. And so what they did was they called upon our bishop at the time, who came from San Vicente, to a giant mass here, and they put speakers on the outside of the church so that everyone in the community was here. And on a Sunday just like this, they came and started a mass of denouncing and finger pointing.
El obispo era muy enérgico, muy elocuente. Y en la condena dijo, entre otras cosas, esto: he venido a visitarles a Sinquera para cortar un mal. Y el mal es que unos mal llamados cristianos se han tomado este templo y lo han convertido en una tribuna.
And the priest was very eloquent and energetic, and he said, "I've come here to cut out evil at its root. I've come because some badly named Christians have taken this temple away from the people and are using it as a tribunal.
Y entonces, ¿verdad? Y dijo, y lo han convertido en una tribuna para dar a conocer ideas ateas, marxistas, leninistas, dirigidas y orientadas desde China, Cuba y la Unión Soviética.
And they've converted this church into a tribunal where all they do is share atheist, Marxist and Leninist ideologies imported from Cuba, from China and from other countries.
Todos nos quedamos asustados de lo que nos acusaban. Y por lo tanto, dijo el obispo, fuera de este templo estos mal llamados cristianos. Y les queda prohibido en adelante poner un pie dentro de este templo. El que se arrepienta de ese pecado sacrílego, que vaya a mi casa, a San Vicente. Que se me ponga de rodillas, me pida perdón, y a ese le extenderé un carnet para que pueda continuar. De lo contrario, fuera todos.
And he said, and so, all these poorly named Christians who think they can come to this church and turn into a tribunal are from now on prohibited from coming into laying one foot into this church. And he said, any of the people of those poorly named Christians who might feel sorry for having committed this sacrilege can go to my house in San Vicente and put themselves at my feet and ask for pardon, for forgiveness for their sins. And then I'll give them a card that says that they've been forgiven by the bishop and they can come back to this church. Until then, out of here, all of you.
El obispo se llamaba Pedro Arnoldo Aparicio y Quintanilla. Entonces, dijo el obispo, arranquen todo eso, los carteles. Y dos monjitas que venían con él, dicen del Colegio Santo Domingo, con la ayuda de los de orden que todavía estaban de alguna manera, arrancaron todo y dijo el obispo, denle en fuego. Y quemaron todo lo que estaba escrito.
And so this bishop, who is called Pedro Arnaldo, Arnaldo Aparicio Quintanilla, said, take all this down. And he pointed to all the scripture writings that he put on the walls. He said, take all this down. And two nuns that had come with him that were supposedly from a convent said, with the help of some of the orden people who are still around in one way or another, ripped everything down and put it all together and burned it.
Una de las jovencitas que había colaborado en la elaboración de los carteles, noches y noches, meses trabajando, estaba aquí y el obispo predicando ahí en el ambón. La muchacha, la jovencita, tenía 16 años. Pidió la palabra al obispo en el momento que estaba la condena. Y el obispo le dijo, ¿quieres hablar? Sí, monseñor, le dijo. Es para decirle que esperábamos de usted la predicación de un buen pastor. Pero nos está hablando como un rico opresor. Esta es. Muy pobre.
And so one young girl who was sitting right here in one of the front rows raised her hand and asked for the asked to be able to speak to the bishop who was sitting right there behind the pulpit, condemning everybody. And she was 16 years old, and when the bishop asked her, "Do you want to speak?" and she said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "We've come here hoping that you would speak to us as a good priest.
Ella se
but
ama,
you've come to speak to us as a rich oppressor."
Ella se llamaba Aida Escalante.
Her name was Aida Escalante. This is her photo. She
era una miembro de la comunidad cristiana juvenil, de las familias más pobres de mi pueblo. Era catequista.
She was from one of the Christian committees that we'd formed. one of the youth Christian committees. She was a catechist that I worked with.
We'd like to warn listeners that Don Pablo describes torture and atrocities in graphic detail. We've done minimal editing in order to preserve the integrity of the story and the reports. So we wanted to warn listeners that you may find some of this very disturbing.
Terminó la misa y la condena, y mucha gente en la población, las organizaciones de la iglesia, Legión de María, Hijas de María, Adoradores del Santísimo, otros quedaron llorando por la excomunión. Nos sacaron de la iglesia.
The mass ended and many of the religious groups of people from different legions of religious affiliation remained just crying. They didn't know what to do and they shooed us all out of the church.
Poco tiempo después, el rancho de Aida era de zacate, paja. Fue rodeada por militares que llegaron en un vehículo. Su madre, al ver que los militares rodeaban su rancho, agarró a su hija entre brazos, porque presentía. Los militares se la quitaron de los brazos, la amarraron y la metieron en un saco grande de esos donde se mete café cortado. Amarraron el saco, subieron a Aida en el saco al carro, se sentaron en ella los militares, y se la llevaron a Suchitoto.
Shortly after that mass, a military man arrived to the hut where Aida lived with her mother. It was a hut made of straw, straw.
The sounds that you hear in the background are those of a traveling evangelist group that pulled up in front of the church with a loud sound system and made noise off and on throughout the time that Don Pablo was speaking. We'd like to warn listeners that Don Pablo describes torture and atrocities in graphic detail. We've done minimal editing in order to preserve the integrity of the story and the reports. So we wanted to warn listeners that you may find some of this very disturbing.
And the mother, fearing what might happen, grabbed her daughter and hugged her to her. The military men surrounded them, took the daughter Aida away from her mother, tied her up, threw her in a 100-pound coffee sack, tied the top, threw her into the back of a pickup truck, sat on her, and took her off to Suchitoto.
Ahí la violaron 3 días y 3 noches los policías, los soldados, todos los militares, los paramilitares y sus amigos. 3 noches y 3 días sin descanso. Cuando la niña ya no les interesaba porque estaba muy decaída, la subieron al vehículo otra vez y la encaminaron hacia acá. A medio camino la bajaron y la metieron a un monte.
And they raped her for 3 days and 3 nights. All the military men, the paramilitary men, and all their friends who might want to join in. And when she was no good to them anymore, when they didn't even want to rape her anymore, they tied her back up, threw her in the back of a truck, and brought her back toward this way. And halfway here, they took her out of the truck and took her into the woods.
Sacaron los cuchillos y le cortaron las orejas, los pechos, le cortaron la nariz, le sacaron la lengua y se la cortaron. Y con los cuchillos mismos, le sacaron los dos ojos.
They took out their knives. They cut off her ears. Then they cut off her breasts. They cut off her nose. They pulled her tongue out and chopped it off. And with the same knives, they stuck out her. They poked at her eyes out.
Dice el testigo que la niña, su cuerpo siempre se movía así. Los militares hicieron 2 estacas de madera y se las introdujeron en la parte posterior de la cabeza y le abultó en la frente. Así murió Aida. Luego le echaron ácido y quedó convertida en negro.
A witness says that after they did this, her body was still twitching, she was still moving, and so they cut 2 stakes, wooden stakes, and they stuck them through the back of her head so they'd stick out the front. And then they poured acid on her, so that her body was blackened and charred.
Con la predicación del obispo, los militares cogieron mucha fuerza. Pocos días después, el gobierno mandó 30 agentes de la Guardia Nacional a mi pueblo, Sinquera, a tomar posesión. Y traían grandes listas con los nombres de todos los hombres del municipio que pertenecíamos a la organización.
So with the sermon, after the sermon that the bishop gave, the military men had a lot of power. And so they sent 30 people from the National Guard out to Sinquera, to my town. And the men came out with lists of all the men who had participated in the Christian committees.
Y tuvimos que irnos todos a los montes a huir. Lo único que no dejamos y llevamos como equipo fue la Biblia. Mientras unos vigilaban allá, otros hacíamos reuniones para animarnos. Pero nos enfermamos algunos y tuvimos que salir de la zona. Otros se trastornaron por el hambre, la sed, el sueño, la persecución.
And so all of us men had to run out and hide in the mountains because we were all persecuted in the town. And the only thing we were able to bring with us, besides the clothes we were wearing, was our Bibles. And so while some of us maintained vigilance, others of us met and discussed the Bible and continued to meet as we had before. But some of us got sick. Others of us went insane because of the persecution, because of always having to run and hide because we didn't have food or water.
Todos débiles ya sin fuerza para correr. Y el ejército todos los días persiguiendo, no hay en las alturas. Entonces, resultó que ya no se podía correr y los militares capturaban a los más débiles. Pero los militares no iban solos. Iban con otros campesinos como yo, que todavía pertenecían a la organización Orden.
And so those of us who were weak slowly began to lose our strength to be able to run and hide from the military men. The military and the army chased us day and night along the tops of the mountains. And so as we got weaker and couldn't run anymore, they'd capture us. And it wasn't just the army that was capturing us. It was our same brothers and sisters, the campesinos from our towns who had continued to organize with Orden, who were also there finding us.
You've been listening to a WERU special, Don Pablo Alvarenga, in his own words from his own experiences in Sinquera, Cabañas, El Salvador, recorded in January 2007. Jesse Dyer Stewart translates. I'm Amy Brown. If you would like more information about El Salvador, or if you'd like to hear part one of Don Pablo's talk, check the WERU archives under the Radio Sempul tab in the archive section at weru.org. Also, join us for Radio Active on Thursday afternoons, April 5th and April 12th at 4 o'clock, as we'll bring you more of Don Pablo's talk as he describes the guerrilla uprising and also brings his account into the present day. Thanks for listening to your community radio station, WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill, 102.9 Bangor, and streaming online at weru.org.